Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It is a Monday, October 2nd. Rachel is still out, but she will be back tomorrow. So in the meantime, we have a returning guest co-host, who is Kay Brand. Hi, Kay.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
How are you? You all like dressed up, made up. Like, are you going to an event or something? Or is it just for me?
This is the event.
This is just for me.
What are you talking about?
Wow. Well, yeah. I'm flattered. How's it going, Kay?
It's going okay.
Yeah, did you have a nice weekend?
I did have a nice weekend. It was quite restful because the weekend previous I had done a convention.
Oh, that's right.
For 2 days. So it was nice not to have to be on, you know.
Yeah.
I got to just like
not
chill
have
out.
To be on, period. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it was good until the news came in last night.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's shocked. And so tell us what happened. Last night there was a shooting in Vegas. Mm. I mean, I can't believe the numbers. They're staggering.
It's horrific.
58 people dead, 500 injured.
It's horrific.
Wow. All damaged by one person.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he shot, he started shooting from the Mandalay Bay from the 32nd floor or so. And my question is, how did he open the windows there? I thought in the Vegas hotels you can't open the windows, right?
Yeah, you know, hotels. I've never stayed there, but I've stayed at the hotel. They own a separate hotel called The Hotel.
Right, right, yes.
Yeah, and
yes.
I've stayed there, and that's like all suites.
Right.
Yeah, I don't suites remember have being able to open. Windows. No, I don't remember that either.
Oh, wow.
There was no balconies.
Yeah, yeah. No, usually there's no balconies, and when there is no balconies. But some hotels, like, will give you the ability to open the windows, but
yeah.
Not in Vegas. I noticed that in Vegas, most of the hotels I stayed at, you can't open the windows. So maybe you just shot it or something.
And if you're really high up, like every year for the AVN Awards, we go to the Hard Rock Hotel because
right.
That's where the awards are.
Right.
And it's like you can't open those windows. I was really high up this past January. I had a really good room, which never happened. So it was like so nice, you know, for a change. And and it was just, there's no way to open those windows
yeah,
at
so
all.
So he probably shot it out or something. I don't know. But the thing is, the fact remains, they're saying it's the biggest massacre in U.S. history.
It's again, you know, last Friday we were talking about mental illness.
Yes.
And it just...
That's how it manifests itself. You see, and I'm glad you're focusing on the individual.
Yeah.
Because there's so much blame going around right now. Everybody's blaming everybody.
Oh, and ISIS. I mean, what a bunch of punks. You know, they're like, oh, that was us.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah,
what
right.
Fucking idiots. But really, it's like, just like, come on.
I know, but everybody's making it political, of course, because
of course.
That's what we are. And,
of course,
you know,
but
and
it's just one crazy person.
Yeah, exactly. It's one person,
yeah.
You know. We don't have to change policies in the whole friggin' country because of one person,
right.
You know.
Exactly.
So that's the thing. And like you mentioned, mental health, that's what we need to focus
that's
on.
That's 100%.
You know? It's not the guns, you know. I mean,
it is the guns because...
Well, okay.
It's
all right.
Always somebody who's mentally ill who's got a frigging machine gun.
Right.
I mean, how...
But don't you think you can get a gun any way you want? I mean, if you want to shoot somebody, you're going to get a gun.
I believe in that, but we don't need to have assault rifles being distributed.
That I agree.
And, I mean, look at what happened in Orlando.
Right.
When that shooter went in there at the club.
At the club.
And he had a history, his ex-wife said, of mental illness. And, you know, it's just unreal.
Right.
It's, I mean, really... That's the stem. That's the cause.
Right.
And then somehow, you know, these background checks that they do when they're giving out weapons have nothing to do with a mental diagnosis.
They wouldn't catch that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, they wouldn't, but they're not geared for that.
Right.
They're looking for people with a criminal background. They're looking for people who have history of
being,
you know, of having bad behavior. But, you know, then somebody randomly who's kept their mental illness hidden all their lives, you know.
And you
suddenly.
Can't know who's going to shoot. You know, I mean, there's people that are very depressed, but they would never shoot
You can't
anybody.
Know, but now it's like, I hate to even think that this is a trend, you know, because we've had this going on for so long now, and it's random, but now, like, I don't show up anywhere public and think, that I'm safe anymore. You know, just going to concerts over the summer at here at venues, you know, outdoor venues in LA. And the whole time, you just realize just how it's, it could be anywhere. It could be anytime. It could be anyone.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, people are going to blame social media is full of hatred and everything, you know? And it's just that, you know, it's not the right thing to do right now. We need to come together. People don't understand that, you know? But that's the...
But you say people, and then again, like last Friday, we were talking about mental health and mental illness. It's like, how much, we said six. I said 60% of all people have some type of mental illness, and you said more. So how do we all come together when more than half of us are mentally ill in some way? You know, I mean, like,
no, I'm not saying come together like, you know, all the time, but at least right now is what I'm saying, you know, rather than go blaming everybody.
I'm ready, you know,
you know,
I'm ready to connect and to say, let's all like put it aside. But how do you say that to people who have don't even realize that they're in a bad place to begin with mentally or emotionally or going through their funk? I mean, look, I've survived some crazy, crazy things here in Los Angeles. You know, I lived in Santa Monica when the Northridge quake hit in 94. Mm-hmm. And you know, unless you live through that, you will never know what that was like. Yeah. And it was hardcore. It was serious. You know, my building collapsed when I was in it.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean, you know, it's like that's just how do you but what I saw in the aftermath of the Northridge quake were people coming together in ways that I never thought.
Right.
And you know, you look at Puerto Rico and everything that's happening there. I mean, what the fuck? You know, that's all kind of like strange information coming out of there, and nobody really knows what the truth is. But what we see on social media is that there's a lot of misinformation happening. But with like the Northridge quake, when you really are in a situation like that where you don't have anything, you just lose everything, FEMA is there for you,
right?
You know, and people, you will never know that unless you're in a crisis.
Yeah,
and you need
that's true. That's true. But
people came together. I never saw so many people actually extend their homes to people. And like my dad, you know, like they were at the epicenter and he didn't have electricity for a couple of days. And the home that I was staying at, because my apartment building collapsed and it was red tagged almost immediately after.
Really?
The air. Yeah.
Wow.
It was the old Sea Castle right on the beach in Santa Monica, which is now condos, called the Sea Castle. Of course, that the landlord, the guy who owned that building, he couldn't have been happier that the apartment building was destroyed because he got to build these multi-million dollar.
I don't want an asshole.
But anyway, slumlord. Right. But and it all worked out for him.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But my dad, you know, he couldn't take a shower. And the house that I was staying at, the guy who owned the house was like, have them come over. You can take showers. And it really, like, it just used to bring me to tears because it was amazing to see. That's when you see humanity, when people open up the doors and they reach out and they're like, but they would never do that otherwise. If I said, hey, my dad, you know, on any other day needs to take a shower, he'd be like, and he can go
exactly,
to the gym.
Exactly. You know, so, but that's the thing. People don't open their homes usually, you know, but when we are under attack or in trouble, that's what we do, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a cool thing. You know? But anyway, it's just sad that we have to get to have disasters in order to get close and be together.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But you know what I was thinking the other day? I was thinking, you know, humanity is almost like the freeway. You know, it's like cars are more alike than they're different from each other, right?
Uh-huh.
People are the same way. We're more alike than we are different.
Yep.
You know, it's like you have cars, first of all cars are built the same. They have the four wheels, they have this, they have that, they have that. They're all cars.
Yeah.
Just like we're all humans, right?
Yeah.
And then you have different brands, different colors, different this, different that. But it's still cars. You know what I'm saying? And that's what people have to understand. That people are people, man, and we're human beings.
We're not, yeah.
And, you know, and we're, it doesn't matter the race or the beliefs or anything like that. It really doesn't matter.
Well,
the thing is, we have to respect life.
Yeah.
You know, equally.
That's true. That's true, because we all came from the same organic cosmic grit.
Yeah, we're all the same.
Yeah, I mean, we're on a planet in the middle of space. So let's just chill out for a second and consider that.
Yeah, I know. In the scheme of things, the differences are just cosmetic differences.
We don't even understand completely. I mean, we do. We understand gravity, but we're in a... There's nothing holding our planet from falling into the
It's not going to fall into
space.
Anywhere.
But I mean, we don't know.
No, it's not going to fall anywhere.
If anything happen to...
But where is it going to fall to?
That's what I'm saying.
No,
we don't know.
Just... No, because masses attract to each other. That's
we
what
say
happened.
That. We're scientists. We've developed these conclusions. But right. truthfully, the development on the moon, what if something happened to that moon, to our moon, and it completely screwed up the gravitational... The rotation of the planet.
That can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could happen.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely it could.
Right. But the Earth is not going to fall anywhere.
But we don't know that.
We're attracted to the sun. We're only going to get pulled to the sun, maybe.
So there's also
this. We'll burn into the sun. But no, but Earth can't because it has gravity.
Am I scaring you?
You're not scaring me. Not at all, because I'm reading science books as we speak.
Okay, so then you know that the theory used to be that the universe slowed down as it got to.
Right.
Now it's speeding up as it's expanding. Getting further away. It's going faster. Like, what is drawing it out there, and where is it? How far does it go?
I don't know if it's going faster. It's just expanding more. It keeps expanding.
It's crazy.
Yeah, no,
how
it is crazy.
How do we even know that?
Well, that's all we know. Really, is just according to what we can comprehend.
Yeah,
I'm sure we don't know shit.
We don't know shit.
But this is just from our perspective in the universe.
We're just one little speck.
Exactly.
We're one
a
little
speck of dust.
There's a gazillion other universes out there.
Exactly. Yeah. But to us, this is all we have. You know,
galaxies
and,
out there.
And does it really matter if we really understand all that?
No.
We just need to figure out the question of God. And once we figure out that question, everything else will fall
into
place.
I think we need to do what Jackie Martling said last Friday. He uses diploma to roll joints.
Sounds good to
me. Yeah.
Anyway, there's a lot more to talk about, but we do have a guest in the studio, actually a couple of guests, and we're not going to let him sit any longer and die
They've
to talk.
They've been very well behaved in the corner.
Yes. Well, so we're joined, first of all, by artist Katie Costello. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Thank you so much. It was really hard to stay quiet when you guys were talking about the universe.
Right. So we'll let you jump in. We don't only need to talk about music, you know?
So I love it. No, I love it so much.
Yeah,
far.
No,
Thank
this
you.
This show is about everything, you know? So there you go. And then you brought your manager with you. Why don't you go ahead and introduce him?
Yes, this is Vivekan, my manager, and also the founder of our record label, Rebel Pop Records.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for coming. So you guys both have a record company?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What's it called again?
It's called Rebel Pop Records.
Okay, cool.
And
is it pop music mostly that you guys do?
Yes. Yeah. The artist on the label is Katie Costello.
Oh, so you're the only artist on the label.
Yes.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. And your music is pop music, would you say?
It is. It's Rebel Pop.
It's Rebel Pop.
Rebel Pop?
Yeah, I'm dying to hear. You see, we're too old to understand that shit, man. But we'll figure it out, you know. She's here to tell us. What is Rebel Pop?
Well, you know, pop music, contemporary pop music,
like what? Like Katy Perry and Lady Gaga, things like that?
Yeah, you could say that. Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Yeah,
what
pop.
Else is it?
Yeah, right.
What is it in your eyes?
Yeah, basically anything that you would, you know, popularly hear on the radio.
Okay.
These are songs that come about through a lot of different songwriters, a lot of different producers.
Right, they're like manufactured, those songs, almost, right?
Yes.
By professionals.
To me, Katy Perry and Lady Gaga, they're true artists, so I don't feel like it is anything, it's a bad thing. But
right.
The pop music that I've created, I'm the songwriter. We started a publishing company, so I'm self-published, and this album is self-released through Rebel Pop Records. So
that's awesome.
Hence the Rebel, because I'm doing it on my own. I'm venturing on a different path than many other pop artists, and doing it in a way that is, you know, almost a self-contained little rebellion.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and there you go. You know, and she's showing you what you can do.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
She grabbed the world by the testicles, and she said,
and now
I'm doing it my way.
And she's been squeezing.
Yeah. Right?
Exactly. Awesome. I couldn't have said it better myself.
We do say things rather funny on the show, but there you go. So this is cool. Now, Katie, where do you live? I understand you're visiting, right?
Yeah, LA. I'm actually based in Brooklyn.
New Yorker.
I've been in Brooklyn for 8 years now, so I think I've made the official New York status.
I see. So you're not originally from there.
No, and actually, you guys are going to be really shocked, but I'm actually from the South Bay in LA.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's a nice area.
Like, totally, yeah.
Totally on the beach. Where, like Manhattan Beach?
Actually, Hermosa Beach.
Hermosa.
Yeah.
Right in the middle.
Hermosa is a nice place. Yeah. I like it.
For those who know of it, it's a very charming and dear spot of California.
It really is, right? Like a beach town.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of nice that there's a liberal vibe there. You know, people are very much into music and very much into the arts, and so it was nice to grow up in an environment like that.
Yeah, that's true. And then you have the beach and the Strand. Do you go there sometimes, Kay?
Yeah, but you know, I go more to Huntington Beach.
Right.
And
which is farther south.
Newport,
which is farther south. That's Orange County, which is cool, too. But you got to take a drive. Start from the marina, from Playa, and go down.
I used to live in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
As I was saying earlier.
I used to live in Santa Monica,
that's true. Right on the beach before the Northridge quake.
That's true.
And right then an earthquake kicked me out of the beach, and I moved to Hollywood. But yeah, but I used to hang out in Manhattan, Redondo, Hermosa.
Yeah.
You know.
So you were like on the beach. You lived on Pacific there?
It's called Appian Way.
Okay, but that's a small one. But the main street was what?
Ocean.
Ocean. That's what I meant. Yeah. Not Pacific, but Ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love Santa Monica. That was like when I think I was 16. I would ride my bike to Venice, which is a pretty far ride. It's like maybe like
Santa Monica to Venice?
No, Hermosa Beach to Venice.
Oh, that one is a long
one. It's like
way.
Maybe like 20 miles.
Yeah, oh, I used to walk it because my address was the prom. My address was actually the street was the promenade. That's what they called it. But it was right on the beach, Oceanfront Walk.
Right.
But it was but there's, you know, the not a boardwalk, but there's the bike path, and I used to walk from my apartment to Venice and back, and then I'd be like, what the fuck? That was freaking far.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like, what the hell? But but it was lovely, because you just get caught up watching the ocean and the seagulls and everybody hanging out.
It's such a cool area.
Yeah,
really.
But there's like a major switch once you move from Santa Monica. Once you leave Santa Monica and end up in Venice, you're like a culture shock. It's a totally different place.
Yeah, it's really funny.
And they're neighbors. They blend together, and yet they're like, it's like night and day. Santa Monica and Venice couldn't be more different.
Exactly. So you can tell that I got my nose pierced in Venice.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Very nice.
So how long has it been pierced? Really?
We probably waved to each other.
Yeah, I think I was 16. I was 15 or 16. Yeah, I probably liked your outfit. I was like, hey.
So your nose has been pierced since you were like 16?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And like, you didn't take a break from putting a ring there?
You know, I once went to a folk music festival in Wyoming where I got a different nose ring put in.
Wow.
And since that time, it has not come out.
Oh, wow.
So ever since Wyoming, same nose ring.
Wow.
What a story.
Yeah, I know.
What a story.
Nice. Yeah.
That was like one time... what was it? Oh, yeah, but it wasn't a ring. It was a stud.
Yeah,
stud.
I had one of those before the ring. Right.
But I didn't have that. A porn star I was working with had it. and she couldn't wear it during the scene.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
So she took it out.
Oh,
and it had
God,
like a jade.
Gross.
It was like a jade like a little pet. No, I don't know. What do you call it?
Right. It looks like your ear.
Like a little stud.
Like your ear.
She took it out and I put it in my pocket. Uh-huh. And like when I got home, I was like, oh, I still have her nose stud.
Right.
And it sat in my drawer for like 5 years. And now she's retired.
Oh my God.
I don't even know how to find her.
It's
really weird when I open up my drawer and I'm like, oh yeah, that was a porn star's nose ring.
But honestly,
I stole that by accident.
I can do nothing with it.
You can always think that you saved her from a situation whereby her nose ring would have maybe gotten caught on some fabric, which is very scary, and it has happened to me.
Oh really?
Yeah. Especially with the stud. That's why I changed it to the ring, because with the stud, you like wash your face or you get out of a shower and suddenly that freaking stud is like latched onto a towel.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, but but does it ever get in the way, this ring for you? No, like, well, blowing your nose.
She just said,
like,
not this, but the stud.
No,
exactly.
I know.
Like this, this.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
This ring is so tightly on my nose, no one could take it off. No, really, it is. It's so tight on there that it doesn't get caught on anything. So I'm
so far,
and I'm really grateful.
So did this start because you were a rebel early on?
How did you know? Exactly.
Because I know
it started young.
Because I think the piercings and stuff started as a rebellious thing. Now they're just accepted in a fashion statement and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, my son's got gauges in his ears, you know.
Oh,
and
no.
Yeah, I mean, my God, you can see through it.
Well, I think the thing about that.
What the fuck?
Yeah, those, giant holes. They're like National Geographic
and
looking
holes.
And he
thinks
it
looks good. I'm like, what the
very tribal. But you know, the thing is, it's like that is going to mark a generation.
Yeah.
Because it's done. Like, nobody's really doing that shit anymore. Who wants to make their earlobes like that?
Well,
you
he
have to
does.
Have surgery to fix it.
I know.
No, but it's a lifelong commitment.
But that's what I'm saying. That's it's true. A rebellious thing. There's not like a lot of thought of the consequences, because also you do it early on in your life, right?
Very.
Yeah, when I got my first tattoo, I remember my dad had said something to me like, "How can you do this? Only criminals have tattoos."
Right.
And I was like, "No, Dad. Everyone and their sweet tabby cat has a tattoo."
Yeah,
and
it's a different
generation. Exactly.
Yes.
It's really,
right?
It's really different. And I do feel like I was part of like a, you know, at least at my school, part of like, you know, perhaps normalizing, you know, like dyed hair and piercings and stuff like that. Because
right,
I was always
right.
drawn to that from a young age.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool, because I'll tell you, I can relate to it, because my daughter was like that too. In fact, she still is at 27.
I am too.
She's
I was like that. I was
she's
a total.
Still rebellious, right? So, you know, but, well, that's cool, you know. So, but I wanted to ask you, Vivekan, right?
Yes.
Where, are you originally from where, New York?
I'm from New York, yes.
Really?
Yes.
So you were
I've been biting the bit apple since I was a little kid.
Really? Very cool.
What part of New York?
I was born in Queens, and we actually met in Brooklyn, because I'm the king of Kings County.
Brooklyn
is Kings County.
Yeah, but you know, I do really like this place in Corona called the Corona Ice King.
Corona is where I lived in Queens.
You're
and
kidding.
I used to go
really?
There for my sugar fix.
I know. It's the best Italian ice in the world.
I used to love it.
Ice in the world.
I haven't been there in, I don't know,
me too.
Since the like 80s.
Yeah, probably the 90s for me.
Yeah.
But it was just like, because whenever I'd fly into New York, because my family's on Long Island, and when I'd fly into New York, I would... My grandfather would pick me up at JFK and drive me right to the Corona Ice King.
Oh, my gosh. Such a good
move.
So I
could get my fix.
What? Oh, my gosh. I need to do that at some point.
No,
I've never been.
No, he'll tell you all about it. He'll tell you all about it. It's delish.
It is. It's, like, beyond delish. They have, like, so many flavors, uh-huh. and it's just really, like, you could just
like 30
get diabetes
flavors.
There.
Oh, yeah, definitely. <Wow. could. laughs> And it's all, I remember being on the corner, and it's all open. You just walk right up and get your Italian ice.
Yeah,
and then
there's
like a pizza joint across
with like
the
big windows, right? Everything they would have them open. Yes,
exactly. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you guys should get together and talk about it for a while over a cup of coffee.
We'll
or
lick
something,
some ice.
You know? Yeah, the show is not the place to waste our time on that right now.
But I do have a question.
I'm kidding. Relax.
But what made you want to become a record producer or a music producer?
When I was in college, I was studying business, and I was originally going to go into finance. And then when I started considering what it was I really loved doing and what I wanted to do, and that didn't really feel like work. It was really entertainment, most broadly, film and music, my core areas of interest. And then within that, publicity and marketing. And so over the years, I had worked at EMI Capital Music Group. I worked with Rogers and Cowan. I worked with Miramax Films within Dimension.
Big names.
Yes, and then I took a break from that, and then I met up with Katie, and Katie was really the first artist that asked me to manage her, that I actually trusted her as an artist and her potential and her music. I actually lost a friend years ago because he wanted me to manage his punk band, and you know, I didn't want to throw up. You know, I just
that's not your direction in music.
Exactly.
There you go. That's interesting, you know. So. So being from Hermosa, you grew up here, right?
Yeah.
And do you have any siblings?
I have one sibling,
Do you really? Are they rebellious too?
Perhaps in a different way, but no, we're very different. We're
really?
Very.
Is it a brother or sister?
A brother, an older brother. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're very different, right?
Very different.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like that, you know, because it doesn't matter. You're in the same family, you know. You're born
definitely.
A certain way, and that's your genes, that's your DNA, and that's it, you know. And people have to get over that, you know.
Right.
Because if your daughter turned out to be a rebel, then accept it. You know, what are you gonna do?
I always told my parents that. I said, you know, don't fight against me because it will be harder
right.
for all of us.
You should have met Rachel. You know, maybe you guys will come back on the show when Rachel.
Yeah.
She's a total rebel. I mean, she's like weed all day, and her parents are like a general, attorney general, and a judge. And all she cares
so
about is getting high.
Hold on a second. I can't believe you're dismissing.
Wait, but is getting high
I
wrong?
Do. I can't believe there's no more rebellion or rebellious behavior of, as far as
I'm
queer
not,
than.
Did I dismiss it? I did not dismiss it. I'm just
smoking
thinking.
Smoking pot all day and, was, and making porn is two separate things entirely. I think being an adult filmmaker is the top of the rebellion scale.
That's true. I will say that, you know, even being high all day, you know, I can't really find anything wrong with that.
Yeah, that's true.
No. You're not hurting
we
anybody.
We don't either.
Then,
I don't either.
So these are peaceful rebellions in a way. You know,
that's true. You're not hurting anybody.
Exactly.
You can be rebellious as long as you can find a way to make money in that rebellion. That's the key.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's why she got into the music, but also because you love it, obviously. That's your first thing about music. When did you first become, you probably had interest in music when you were early on, but when did you decide you're actually going to pursue this and not listen to what your parents are saying? Because obviously they did not tell you go and be a musician, right?
At first they definitely were super confused why I wanted to pursue it as a career. As most parents feel,
right.
Understandably, you know, it's just not a, it's a very uncertain career path.
Definitely.
It's a,
all the arts are.
Very competitive.
All of the arts.
All of the arts. And there's a lot of heartbreak in the process of becoming the artist you're meant to be, and I definitely feel like they understandably were cautious about me going into this field. But I started writing songs when I was about 12 and 13, and I started making my first album when I was 15. And it was really when I had released that first album, I finally released it when I was 17, and it was at that time when I released that first album, and like really the gratification, the fulfillment, the joy of sharing music that I made with other people.
Wow.
That was when I decided, you know, I have to do this and I have to risk whatever it takes to make sure that I can continue doing this, because I saw in myself that I could have gone into more conventional work, but for me and my personality, you know, from a
you
young...
You wouldn't have lasted, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, you know, being true to yourself often involves making really difficult decisions people do not understand.
Right, like making porn films over here.
Precisely. No, really, no, exactly. But... And yet, it's like you have to do what you feel is right and what you believe in, even if other people are, you know... well-intendedly trying to, you know, talk you out of it.
So you had this groundbreaking moment at 15 when you said, I'm putting out... I mean, at 15, a lot of kids are like, I need a part-time job. Should I work at McDonald's or Taco Bell?
If they even think about working. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or
oh,
the
I got
girls.
Homework to do. And she's like, I finally got around to it at 17.
Yeah, right.
I finally put my first album out at 17.
No, Katie's very driven. Katie is very driven.
That's so funny. No, it's funny that you say that, though, because at that time, I was a very dedicated student. I was so, like, you know, school was my number one thing.
That's great.
So it was very difficult for me in a way in my personality dynamic to switch from, you know, a very kind of A to B type of success of, like, you know, getting a good grade on a test versus music, where even if you say do all the quote unquote right things, you just don't get a result
right
in the same way that you do in other areas of life. And so
Like financial reward right away, maybe, right?
Exactly. countless times I've gone into a songwriting session with a new producer that I've never met. We meet, you know, talk about, you know, kind of our philosophy on music and write a song and record it. And, you know, you're spending all day, you know, pouring yourself into this song, into this track, and you have no idea where that song is going to go. Is That's anyone true. Ever going to hear this?
Yeah.
Is this ever going to be, you know, successful in a way that other people recognize?
Right.
And so these are right. the kinds of risks, if you will, that
so
are...
So what happened with that album at 17?
So I released it. It's called Kaleidoscope Machine, and it's on my website, on iTunes and Spotify and all that
and
kind
of
stuff.
Do you still feel really happy about it, or do you look back and think, I was kind of young and didn't really know what I was doing?
It's a really good question. I really feel both. I look back, I listen to it now, I still absolutely love it, and yet I hear how I was just a different person at that
yeah.
time.
Well,
you know,
of course.
Yeah, exactly. You can't help but evolve and change. Right. So right. it's kind of it's like listening to a snapshot in
but
time.
But what were you writing about at 15? Were you writing about your babysitting job? Or?
probably about yeah, broken hearts.
Do you know this is I think why I think I started generating that rebellious spirit from a young age, because even at that age I felt like, damn, man, is every fucking song that someone writes that's a female about their broken heart? Like, I cannot.
They hit. Are.
And yeah. I was like, and for me as a young woman, I didn't identify with that. I felt yeah. like, dude, fuck.
So were you writing songs like, about studying? About your test coming up on Friday? What were you writing about?
Well, you should listen to the album. You should listen to the album. I think you'd like it. But I was writing about, you know, the emotional landscape of my life at the time.
So rather than why don't we listen to something? Yeah. You have it
oh,
on your
cool.
website, you
yeah.
said, right?
Yeah.
Is that where it says listen to Katie? Should I click on that link? Because that takes you sort of like to iTunes, right?
If you go to Spotify or okay. Apple Music, yeah, you can stream it.
Okay, but I don't have Spotify on here. But that's fine. But anyway, mm-hmm. so but you did bring a CD and we wanted to listen to some of your music too.
Then
what did you put? Maybe put it on YouTube or something, so that people can go and listen to the first album you had.
You can go to SoundCloud. Yeah. There should be
SoundCloud
some
there too. Okay.
On YouTube, there's a song from my first album. On
really?
There. Yeah. If you
oh,
go,
you can pull okay. it.
If you go to
to
YouTube.com/ Katie Costello Music.
Okay,
my channel, and it's actually the very first video that's posted on that channel. So
Katie, how's your music evolved since 17?
Yeah. Well, you know, as one can imagine, you know, I got, you know, more into different aspects of record making. You know, I learned a lot more about, you know, the type of sounds I want on my record and the kinds of songs I want to write. But this new album, Twice the Love, that I'm releasing this week, actually, it comes out this Friday. This is an album that is definitely an evolution of my sound, in that I think that the songwriting is more confident. I feel like I went into making this album really kind of, I knew what I wanted to say. In the past, I kind of wrote with my heart on my sleeve and kind mm-hmm. of just poured myself into songs. Mm-hmm. And this was definitely more like there were specific things I wanted to write about.
Like what?
Right.
There's a track on this album called New World, and mm-hmm. I feel like it's very apropos to what, you know, what you guys were talking about earlier. The world is in a state that can make one very sad sometimes, you know, seeing,
right.
you know, these shootings, different crazy things happening, and it's very easy to sort of feel this isolation and also this helplessness of like, wow, like, what can I do? How, you know, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And so this song is really about, you know, kind of, Sam, what you were saying, like, you know, it's a positive anthem, if you will, kind of marshaling everyone, telling everybody, you know, we're all together, and because we're all together, because we each make a difference, if we all come together on a common on common ground, we can actually accomplish so much, because it's right. really, we are each a little puzzle piece, and together we do create the big picture. So like, by generating that attitude, you kind of become part of the solution.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Versus,
so to you the lyrics are very important, at least as important as the music. If
yeah,
not
absolutely.
More.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so let's take a listen to that. New World, right?
From
the is this going to be a premiere of it, or have you played it already? Twice the Love is the name of the album. Katie Costello and New World, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So let's take a listen to that and see what's going on there.
Awesome.
Hello. Okay, there we go. This is the one. I'm gonna build a new world. An awesome song.
Yeah,
you're
awesome.
Speaking my language.
Thank
musically
you so
there.
Absolutely.
Let me tell
you. It's upbeat and cool. It sounds great.
It's hot. That's why it's rebel pop, because it's so like widely appealing, and yet it's kind
it
of like
is,
a different way of going about it.
Yeah,
because I would think, look, Katie is not close to my age, okay? I'm not the target market here.
She's older than you,
but
right?
But yet, you know, I'm not quite, I haven't quite matured as much musically as she has. no, I'm kidding. I've been into music all my life. I also wrote music, played guitar. Did you play an instrument in order to write your songs, the music?
Yeah, I play piano and guitar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How cool. From an early age?
From a pretty early age. I started writing, or rather playing piano when I was 13, when I had started writing songs.
Self-taught?
You know, kind of. I did take lessons, and I did have some good teachers that gave me some very valuable things to work on, but I was actually talking to a friend about it the other day, that I always ended up writing a song instead of learning the piece I was working on. Right. So I kind of became this like deadbeat when it came to like reading a piece of sheet music, because I was always ending up writing a song
instead of practicing it. Yeah, you don't want to go by the books. You want to go, I mean, that's what creative people do, you know? Mm-hmm. There you go. But I love this music. I mean, this is totally like professional quality.
Sounds wonderful.
Star quality stuff.
Very
entertaining.
Thank
you.
That star quality is what you said. The professional, that's been there with all of her discography, but the star quality, this record is really, really hot. I wanted to get to everyone's ears, because just seeing the way the two of you are responding, Kay and Sam, this is how everyone responds when they hear these tracks.
Yeah, right? And that's the thing. It's upbeat. You know, you got a great voice.
I think it's competitive music with what's out there right now.
Exactly.
Yeah,
definitely.
Very much.
Oh, there's
Thank
so much
you.
That's out there right now that's voice. Not even as good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
So you just got to, I mean, the thing is, look, you got the product now, right? And now you just got to make sure you can stand out from the crowd, just because there's so much of everything.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
There's
yeah.
so much competition and stuff. So it's not if you're good or bad at this point. At this point is what can you do to really stand out and let people know, hey, look, I'm over here. Listen to this great music,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
Definitely.
Because that's the hardest right. thing. So obviously Spotify is a good place to be, right? I mean, because they suggest music to you. I mean, if I was playing music...
Pandora, well, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they would suggest your music to me because I listen to more 70s and 80s. but maybe if I listen to a Katy Perry song, which I do, or things like this, you know, it might be like a similar thing because it's the same like age, you know.
Well, why not start a song list or a music channel based on Katy Costello?
I have to agree.
That's exactly what
Excellent.
We're going to do. There
We've
you
got
go.
Brilliance here in the studio.
Just
yeah,
type
it,
her
go.
In and then let the music follow around that.
Right. Now, I'm curious exactly. about New York Graffiti. You wrote a song about New York Graffiti.
Yes.
I'd like to listen to that one. Because
this is before Banksy got busted.
What's that?
This is before Banksy got busted.
Oh, I see. Okay. So let's listen to tell us a little bit about this one.
Yeah. New York Graffiti, I wrote with actually the same person I wrote New World with in Brooklyn. And that track is it's very autobiographical. Being an artist in New York, it's a wonderful, beautiful thing. But right. you know, you also you're kind of you know making it day to day,
right?
And so this song is really about how you know you can live your dream right now at this moment by having the right attitude for it versus say waiting for it.
To happen to you, yeah, or to come
to you. With fame
or
success or money.
Right.
But rather that, you know, your dream of an artist is now. It's happening now, and no one can stop you from
right.
doing
then
that.
Right, then you don't have to wait for it. There you go.
Exactly, and you can just put yourself out there with the joy of knowing that that's what you're, you know, what makes you happy as an artist versus... Right. Any other
and it's finding yourself
motivation.
That way, you know. I mean, if you're gonna put you're gonna put her in a 9-to-5 job, man, she's gonna explode, you know. Her head is gonna
Me
explode.
Me too. I was just like that
right,
too.
Us too, you know.
Yeah.
But I've done it for many years yeah. because I had to.
Yeah, me too.
You know, but Absolutely. That's the thing. You have the opportunity to actually do it at a young age, get some support from your parents, the people around you, and stuff. You found a great person to support you, and it sounds like you're on the right track. Do you think, I mean, you obviously feel her star quality and everything. Have you, like, thought about how long is it going to get us to take us to really break through? Because it could take a while.
Well, because there's an investment of time and money and
an enormous,
creative energy.
Enormous yeah. investment of time, money, yeah. credibility,
right.
and money.
Yeah.
But these tracks speak for themselves,
right.
though, when you hear them. And then also, I don't
but
know...
But how do you get people to hear them? That's my question.
Well, you know, it's part of what we're doing. We're, you know, we're here in L.A., we're on your
right.
show, and we have, you know, yet other appearances this week. And on the release day, this upcoming Friday the 6th, Katy is playing at the Hotel Cafe at 9 p.m. with her
oh,
band.
Oh, awesome. That's
yeah,
a cool
my
venue.
And, album release show.
And wow. she's invited some yeah. notable names that we won't drop here to come to the show, so they may well
Why
be there.
Don't you drop if
yeah,
you
drop
can.
Well, Mick is right now in Europe, you know, touring with the Rolling Stones, so, you know, he might not be able to make it. But the reality is that she's going to have a really hot show this Friday. She's
That's
been
cool.
We've got, you know, a scheduled show in New York coming up later on the month. And so this is really what we've been doing. We've been, like, you know, working with a publicist and radio promotion team, making appearances as we are right now.
So this is the PR.
This is the PR marketing
yeah,
that we're like
exactly.
that you're
tour.
Witnessing right now.
This
yes.
is the tour, exactly.
We are proverbially shouting from the mountaintops right now.
Yeah, that's
you know.
Awesome. Yeah, and
you
no, you're definitely on the
exactly.
right track. You know, but for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Katy Costello. Her new album is Twice the Love. How can people listen to the music? I mean, where do they find it? Obviously, you have a CD, and some people love still buying CDs.
Yes.
So they can get it where? Everywhere, right?
On my website, katycostellomusic.com, you can
okay.
now pre-order this album, Twice the Love, my new album, in digital form or in hard copy. And then this Friday, it'll be available everywhere. It'll be on iTunes, Spotify, Google Music, Amazon, the whole
That's
catalog.
The point.
Yeah, the online store, it'll also be available there, as Katie just mentioned, with the pre-order, and then you can actually order it that day moving forward.
Cool, exactly, cool. Yeah. But obviously in the beginning, you do have to go where all the crowds are, at Spotify, at Pandora, at places like that.
You got to
right?
make the and rounds.
Yeah, you got to let people know you, and you can't expect them to pay you a lot of money when they don't know you
right.
yet. You know
that's,
what
that's,
I'm saying?
That's so the
you
balance.
Need, right. So, but many people don't understand that. I'm sure you totally do because you're in the business, you know. But the thing is that once you create the interest, once you get the awareness, then you start cashing in on it,
and
you know?
It starts snowballing from there.
Right, exactly. So you need, obviously today you have social media, which can help you a lot as well. Internet radio stations like ours, you can reach the world and stuff. So you're really reaching a lot of people. You have the potential to really do
yep.
that, you know. So I want to listen to New York Graffiti.
I do too.
Yeah. Let's see what that's about, because it sounds... It sounds amazing
the
to me.
The sun comes up over the Brooklyn Bridge. A brand new day. I got so much to give. These days it's hard to sleep. Got a fire, it's burning in me. I won't stop now. I'm gonna make my mark. Even when trouble starts.
These songs definitely have
really
hooks, man. They really do, right?
This is the factory, the hook factory. Katie Costello is...
That's actually my secret middle name.
Really?
Katie Hook Costello.
That's good. But you see, you don't need to read sheet music to come up with music like this, you know?
Isn't that wonderful? I know. Music has so many different aspects to it.
It really does, you know? And I'm glad that you've taken the step, you know? I mean, you just... You're not just sitting there and fantasizing about it, right?
Well,
and
she
you
has too much
that.
Talent to keep it inside.
Yeah, you notice
this is
that.
True.
Right, yeah.
No, it shows in your thank music.
You. Thank you.
I mean, listen, you know, I've listened to a lot of music in my day.
Right, and I'll tell you, a lot of people come through here,
yeah.
and you go, meh.
You
know?
You politely smile,
right.
send them on their way.
But you just go, you know what? It's not my genre.
Yeah,
you know, it's
not
my
genre.
Style.
But this is very appealing.
I'll
music.
Take this one any day.
I no, it's like you said, too. Sam, because I share a similar taste to you. I often listen to a lot of music from the 70s. And
right, right.
Immediately you listen to this.
Right,
stuff, and
right.
Into it. It's like, whoa, it's not my genre, but I love it. And
right, right.
Katie, you've got a lovely voice.
Thank
and
you.
It's very,
thank you.
It's like you're singing knowing that people are going to sing with you.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
That's exactly what these
that
tracks
is so
are.
That is so
yeah.
that's
yeah.
so the intention. I feel like
cuz I would.
I
would start singing.
Yeah, when you're driving in the car, you can't help but to sing to
I
it.
Would want
to
sing along. I'd look at the words. I'd probably sing all the words wrong because I'm notorious.
I mean, listen.
I'm still getting to know her lyrics.
Yeah. I mean, like, I was listening to a song on the radio coming in by Missing Persons, and this was a popular song in the 80s called Mental Hopscotch.
Okay.
And it was my first introduction to, like, new wave and what was happening in, like, 82, 83 for music. And I still don't know the words.
Did they release that after Life is So Strange?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Missing
Mental
Persons.
Hopscotch was there. They had like a four track LP or EP. What do you call that?
EP.
So it was, there was like only four songs on the album. I still have it on vinyl.
Wow.
Gosh,
and
wow.
I have a massive vinyl collection. And
That's awesome. You still have it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And now I'm like, why do I still have it? Like,
I sold mine for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, I want to, but I still have a turntable. So I'm like, I might play them one day.
Yeah, why not? There's people that love vinyl.
And I do. And I do. But
then
a lot
hold
of.
On to it.
I know, but they take up a lot of room.
They do.
And they're heavy.
And when you have to move, it's a job.
Exactly.
But it's one time, it's one day. Come on. It's not like you carry it on your back every
Sam
day.
Sam wants you to keep your vinyl collection.
Okay, I'm going to keep it, but I just wanted you to know that this just reminded me because I turn it up in the car and I'm like, I can't believe I still don't know what she's saying. Like, right. I still don't, yeah. I can't understand it.
I love songs like that, though, yeah. where you're pulled yeah. by the melody and the emotion so much that right. you're like, I don't even know secondary. What they're saying, but I'm feeling this.
Yeah.
Like,
right, right. No, but there's a lot of songs like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. Yeah.
But sometimes I've been so off that I actually created a new song.
Yeah, I've done that.
You know, like what I thought was being said had nothing to do with what was really right. being said. And then I go up to YouTube when they actually play the song with the lyrics.
Right.
And I read the lyrics. I'm like, oh, crap.
That's yeah. what it is.
That's a totally different song.
Like someone told me, like the Van Halen song yeah. Panama, they thought it was yeah. Animal, you know? And I'm like, the whole time you thought it was Animal. You know?
Animal
yeah, totally anyway. Changes the whole.
Guys, listen, we're out of time. I'm sorry to put an end to this, disgusting great time you guys are having.
Yes,
it's like too much. It's obscene.
It's rebellious.
Time, right? But guys, thank you so much for coming in. Katie Costello, tell people how they can find you, contact you if they want to.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much again for having me. This has been yeah. so fun. Yes, please find me online. My website is katiecostellomusic.com. It's Katie with an IE and Costello like Elvis, but not.
I like Elvis Costello.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. People always ask if we're related, and there was a time when I did lie openly and say I was his daughter.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You got to do what you got to do.
If it opens up doors yeah. for you, what the hell?
Listen, you just got to do it.
I do want to ask: yeah. will you leave the CD with me? Do you have a copy for me?
I would love to gift you this copy of this
awesome.
CD. And I hope it gets just, I hope you just wear it out.
But you know what I'm going to do?
With heavy rotation.
But let me yeah. tell you something, okay? We play music between shows, so like 10-minute window every hour.
Great.
And we play a lot of great music.
Oh, yes.
But this definitely belongs
oh,
there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Sam, I love you.
All yeah, right.
Definitely.
So I'm
going to
pick
hard.
Out a couple of the songs. I'll be honored to play them because
oh, yeah.
they're cool songs,
good,
you know?
Good music.
Yeah, thank exactly. You. And
very
you know,
appealing.
And what do I know about the young music today, you know? So if she comes in and I like her music, that works for me.
Yeah. That's definitely
I have to agree, and I would be honored. So thank you so
oh,
much.
Awesome,
perfect.
Awesome.
Is it okay if Katie mentions really quickly her show this Friday?
Of course, yeah. Do it
yeah,
again.
Yeah, so my album release show, releasing my album Twice the Love, is this Friday, October 6th, 9 p.m. at the Hotel Cafe in Hollywood.
Wow.
Sounds good. Well, I'm going to try and be there.
Fantastic. Yes.
Yeah, of course. Vivekan, thank you so much for joining us in the conversation.
Thank you for having
awesome.
Me.
Awesome, yeah. And Kay, thank you for coming in,
oh,
for making
welcome.
It easier, because I would have had to carry the whole weight.
I know, you'd be lost
with the two
me.
Of them, yes.
Like he the LP collection.
He would have been, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
he would have been talking about the universe completely by himself.
Exactly, by myself, which I cannot do.
Been a very existential start.
I cannot do. So they, instead of them promoting their music, we would have been talking about that
right.
in Vegas and all that shit, yes. you know. So it's good that you came in, Kay. We always love to have you.
Thank you.
And Katie, thank you so much again.
Thank you so much for
you're,
having me.
You're gracious, you're amazing, and I think you're gonna I'm pretty confident you're gonna do very well, you know.
Thank you so
and
much.
And I've had a good sense about people, you know. I mean, my former co-host ended up on a national TV show. I know the talent when I see it, and you definitely have it. So, and you have the drive and everything. You got the right support behind you and Vivekan. So, congratulations
thank
to you,
you
guys.
Thank you so much, Sam. Thank
awesome,
you so much.
And you're welcome back anytime. Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, Kay. Thanks again, as always.
You're
tell
welcome.
People where they can find you.
Oh well, you
or
can
your
just,
your work.
Yeah, if you, I have 24 books on Amazon to enjoy, and you can find me at Kay Brandt, just KayBrandt. I have 50-plus adult movies that I've written and directed that you can find. Adam and Eve, Digital Playground, Girlfriends Films, New Sensations, yeah. Philly Films.
That's a lot. That's a body of work.
You can find me at Twitter at my old company's name, Jewelbox Films. That's JewelboxFilms on Twitter or Instagram, K.Brandt.
There you go. You know, and you're going to find...
And I have a YouTube channel.
And you'll find a very... cool person at the end of those behind those handles.
I try to be as entertaining as possible. Yeah.
Guys, you know what? We gotta run out. We're totally over time. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.